Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
Tonight I want to talk about the Christmas star. I was fascinating. Actually, for months I've been fascinated with the idea of light. I told Stephanie, I said, all I know is I want to talk about light on Christmas Eve. And Ingram Lotz begins this prayer letter that she has with a prayer for the new year, 2016, with these words. She said, terrorist attacks in Paris, Colorado Springs, and San Bernardino have left us ashen-faced and horrified. Polarization within political parties, corruption at the highest levels of government, name-calling of opponents, character assassinations of those who disagree, lies spun as truth, brutality covered up, the economy propped up, are just some issues that are contributing to our sense that America is unraveling. We no longer trust our government, our leaders, our bankers, our police officers, our newspapers. Did we ever trust them? Our business partners, our investors, our neighbors, or even our religious leaders. And then she reminds us of that text that I have printed at the top of your notes. Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 2 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Surely a timely scripture for Christians today, because our world is filled with sin, with evil, with darkness. Our world is in desperate need of what? Light. Light. And, you know, it's not the first time that the Lord filled our world with his light. In fact, the very beginning of our Bibles, verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, records the very first words that God spoke into darkness. And he said, let there be light. His first four words, let there be light, and there was light. And then light came once again in a physical sense to our world on day 4 when he created the sun and the moon and the stars. So Christmas is really special because it's a time when God does it again, so to speak. He looks down on our world that's dark, and he says, I am going to bring light into darkness. And he gave us his only begotten son. Most of us are familiar with the famous Bible verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one, his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But just a couple of verses later, in verse 19, it says this, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Wow. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And that's what's so fascinating about our Christmas story. When we look at the wise men, there they were, and they were following a star that gave forth miraculous light that brought them to Christ. And so we want to read the Christmas story a little bit after the manger scene in Matthew chapter 2. It says this, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. When Herod the king heard of this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I might come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So about, we figure, up to 2 years after the birth of Christ was about the time that the wise men appeared. It drew them to Jesus. Wow. So the good news is that the shining of the light of that Christmas star that drew the wise men to Jesus, it hasn't stopped shining. God still has the light that he wants to bring forth into the darkness of our world in order to bring wise men to his son, Jesus. And the key point is, you and I are now to allow our lives to shine like the first Christmas star. Wow. You're a star. Who knew? So how do we allow our lives to shine brightly in a dark world? And that's really what I wanted to talk about, isn't it? I wanted to talk about light. L-I-G-H-T. Light. How do we become light to a lost and dying world? L stands for love. Just simply love people. We're told to love our neighbor as ourselves. In fact, we're told that's the second of two great commandments. There's only two. Jesus said, I'll just pare them down to just two. You can just have two to do. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, in the New Testament alone, we're told 16 times, love your neighbor as yourself. I think God's trying to get a message to us. Love your neighbor as yourself. Think about how many of the world's ills would be fixed with just obedience to that one command. Wow. So how do we love others? Well, one way is we pray for them, don't we? I think when we pray for others, we demonstrate a great way to love them. How about serving them? Serving them when they're in need, when they have difficulties. Serving others certainly is showing that we love them. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told? The Good Samaritan was the one that went out of his way and at his own expense served the one in need. That's love. That's true love. And then another way is to show that we really care for them, to demonstrate to people that we really care. It's one thing to say we love them, to love in word, but really in deed. Do we really spend time to really pause and demonstrate that we care for other people? Loving others. I. invest in others, or loving people and now investing in others. To invest in others requires time. It requires effort, and it requires risk. It's risky to invest my life in others. It's so much easier to be safe and isolated than to invest in other people. I think that's why we all love that garage door opener so much. Because we pull up to our garage, we push the button, we pull in our garage, we push the button, get out of our car then. When the door's safely down, we don't have to be bothered by our neighbors. A California phenomena. I'm serious. If we got rid of garage door openers, we'd know our neighbors better. How many of you believe me? You know it. Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So in order to invest in others, we need to be friendly. That doesn't mean just be put a smile on your face. It means to be a friend, to really care about these around us. It's willing to care for their needs. It's being willing to invest in their lives and reach out to them. That's how we are light to others. So we love people. We invest ourselves in others. And doesn't that please God? It's interesting. Isaiah 58 talks about some of the things that please the Lord. Verse 7, it says, "Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring into your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh?" I'd say that's investing in others, feeding them, clothing them, bringing them into your own house. Well, that's inconvenient. Yeah, it's inconvenient. It's risky to invest in others. But you know what? They see our light shine brightly when we're willing to take those risks. The next letter is G. G stands for grow in your relationship with God. In order for us to let our light shine, we've got to be growing in a relationship with God. We can't be stagnant. We can't put our relationship over here onto the sidelines. If we're not connected with the one who is love, how are we going to have love to give to others? Because I'll tell you, I don't have the love I need to give to others. That has to come from God. Because in myself, I love me more than I love anybody else. The love of God loves others beyond my own love of self. That's a supernatural love. I don't have that naturally, so I need to grow in my relationship with God. I need to grow closer to Him. Because the closer I come to Jesus, the more I become like Him. The further I get apart from Him, the less like Him I am. So if you want to know how Pastor Steve's doing in his spiritual life, you can kind of monitor it that way. He's looking a little less like Jesus today. Need to pray for him. He didn't get much time in his devotions this morning or this week, whatever. Ephesians chapter 5 says this, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God of sweet aroma." Wow. So we're to walk in love as we walk closely to Christ, and that causes something to happen, something that ignites within our lives this sweet aroma and allows it to break forth that pleases God. But guess what else? It's attractive to others around us. I want to smell sweet for others. I put a little cologne on tonight so that I could smell sweet for you, right? So we want to smell sweet for others. I don't want people to smell my dirty flesh. Then you kind of want to stay away from me. No hugs then, right? It's the same way with our lifestyle. And the closer I get to Jesus, the sweeter I smell the closer you get to Jesus, the sweeter you smell. It's that gap for all of us. So we have L for love others, and I for invest in others, and then G for grow in our relationship with Christ, and then H is help lost people see who Christ really is. Help lost people see who Christ really is. And that's really important in our world today. I was talking to a young man in revival just recently, and we were talking a little bit about sharing the gospel. And he said, it sounds to me like apologetics has to incorporate our evangelism. More or less, evangelism without apologetics just doesn't seem to work in our world today. And I said, you know, I think you're right. Because I think people need to have scientific and rational reasons for faith in Christ. In our world, that's a necessary thing for many, many people. And there are scientific and rational reasons for faith in Christ. I didn't check my brains at the door, and I hope you didn't either when I became a Christian. Actually, it's because of science, and it's because of reason that I am a Christian today. It's actually the opposite of what many people seem to think. But it goes further than apologetics, because our faith in Christ has to look real by the life that we live. Does that make sense? More or less, we can say we believe in Christ, and we can have all the right reasons and doctrine, but if our faith doesn't look real because it's changed our life and we're living a life that testifies to the trueness of that faith, that light becomes very dim. But as we live a life that's truly a reflection of what Christ calls us to do and to be, then our light becomes much brighter and people are able to see it more clearly. 3 John verse 11, says this, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." Then he says this, "He who does good is of God, but he who does evil hasn't even seen God." Hasn't even seen God. So not only those who live a lifestyle that is evil, not only are they not pleasing God, John tells us they haven't even seen him. More or less, they don't have a clue of what God really is all about or who he is. T, our last letter in light. T, tell others about Jesus. We can't stop at H. We've got to continue on to the T in light. So it's important to love people. It's important to invest ourselves in others. It's important to grow in our relationship with God, and it's important to help others to really see who Jesus is. But we also must be bold enough to tell them about Jesus. We're told in 1 Peter 3 that we're to be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks us a reason for the hope that lies within us with meekness and with fear. We're to tell them, we're to give them reasons, we're to help people to understand in a discussion about who God is, about gospel truths. We must always be willing to explain to people how God changed my life. How did God change my life? That's a good story to share with people. What God means to you? What did he save you from? How has your life changed because of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Romans 10 says this, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless one is sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." God's called us to have beautiful feet, to bring the gospel of peace. So remember, not only is our life the only Bible that a lot of people may ever read, but also we have been given the true light that actually can illuminate the human soul. we've been given the only light that can illuminate the darkness in the human soul. Wow, that's incredible. So let's let the L-I-G-H-T of the Bethlehem Star shine from our lives. That's what we need to do this Christmas, that wise men might still be drawn to Christ. I want to close with these words from Max Lucado. He said this, where will God go to touch the world? What is a great thought and an even better question? It's that time of year when we hear about the virgin birth, and yet it's much, much more than a Christmas story. It's a story of how close Christ will come to you. The first stop on his itinerary was a womb. Where will God go to touch the world? Look deep within Mary for the answer. Better still, look deep within yourself. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ grew in Mary until he had to come out. Christ will grow in you until the same occurs. He will come out of your speech, of your actions, and in your decisions. Every place you live will be a Bethlehem. And every day you live will be a Christmas. Deliver Christ into the world. Let's pray. Oh Lord, perhaps there is someone here today, Lord, who has been walking in darkness, and yet you offer to us light. Lord, you offer to illuminate our soul. You offer a hand that reaches into the darkness of sin in this world and says, will you come with me into the light? Oh Father, we want to step into greater and greater light that we might know you ever better. And so if you're here today and if you believe that God sent Jesus Christ into our world to save you from your sins, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, and 3 days later, after he was crucified and buried, he rose again. If you've accepted him, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and asked him to forgive you of your sin, the Bible says you can have eternal life and live with God in a kingdom of light. Lord, thank you for the light of your word and the light that comes into our world. And Lord, help us to share that light with others this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.